Welcome, my fellow Americans. I'm Bill Lipinski, and we next will hear from my very good, dear, intelligent friend, Ray Hanania.
Well, I was looking around to see who you were mentioning, Bill. Now, welcome, everybody, to Two Guys on Politics. This is April 11, 2024, Thursday, and this is Season 3, Episode 11. We got a couple issues. O.J. Simpson passed. We'll talk a little bit about that, not a lot. And then we have this controversy about some states trying to make it possible for non-citizens to vote in local elections. Fortunately, I think, as you pointed out, or we'll talk about, the judicial system is forcing people to abide by the Constitution. And then a quick little note about the solar eclipse and the impact on our world, sci-fi and baby boomers. And you're a baby boomer, right, Bill?
No.
What did they call you before baby boomers? Did they have a term for your generation?
Well, in retrospect, they went back and gave us one, the silent generation.
The silent, I don't know. You guys fought the war. Your generation fought the greatest war and we won, right?
Well, yes, we won, but the war I fought was in the prairie next to my house. It wasn't, I'm not that. I'm not quite that old, Ray. I mean, come on.
You were kind of in the middle then, because I was born right after World War II in '53, about 8 years later. It was at the end of the baby boomer era.
Well, how old are you now?
71. Oh. I'll be 71 this week, April 17.
Oh, happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Bill. So, let's start with O.J. Simpson. I mean, that was in, I think it was 1995, wasn't it? When he went on, 94, he went on trial, and then he was found not guilty in, to me, it was so outrageous, in 1995. And what was it that Johnny Cochran, his attorney, had said that really kind of flipped the deal for him?
It was the glove. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
And flowery poetry and decided justice.
I'll tell you, Johnny became an extremely popular attorney after that.
Of course, when you can get somebody like O.J. Simpson off the hook of a murder charge, where two people, his former girlfriend, who just Nicole Brown Simpson, and she was with her friend Ronald Goldman, and it just seemed, it was so upsetting, but that really created a racial divide even more.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it kind of fueled it.
There was the only 12 people in America who didn't think he murdered the two of them were the 12 jurors. For hearing that case. And it was only because of Johnny Cochran's great defense that got him off.
Yeah. So there must be hope for a guy like Donald Trump, who faces 91 indictments. It comes down to those 12 jurors, whether he's guilty or not guilty. If you can get a good lawyer and you could make a good, snappy little case. If he wasn't there on January 6th, you must acquit. I don't know that jury. I think the flaw in the jury system, where it relies on emotion rather than facts, and race has been a big part of people's decisions instead of justice. He can cling to some hope that, you know, maybe, although 91 indictments is a lot, so you got to keep knocking them out of the park. So far, he's been able to stave them off, but who knows what'll happen between now in November.
Well, it's not a perfect system, but I don't know of a system that is better than the one that we have here in this country. Just a brief political statement. I don't think that these cases that have been brought almost exclusively by Democratic attorneys against Trump is doing Joe Biden's campaign any good whatsoever. I think the more they indict Trump, the more people see him in a courtroom, the more people hear about it's this Democratic district attorney, that Democratic district attorney, this Democratic attorney general. I think that brings more and more people to Trump's side.
Yeah, you know what? It's promotions, campaigns, and consultants who understand public emotion can override and overshadow facts very easily. And I think Biden has a serious problem. I don't think he's addressing it properly. I don't know what Biden is doing. I mean, we've talked about the Arab Muslim problem that he has. There are, you know, some other groups that he just seems so weak. And yet Trump, I would think, would be an easy target to beat, given all of Trump's goofy public statements and actions. And, you know, but, you know, these are followers who are behind him and not looking at issues.
Well,
and I think you
go
point
ahead.
Out correctly about Biden that that people can't, I don't think they actually see, you know, what good he might have. It's distracted by other things. And I don't think Biden is doing a very good job at all.
Well,
bad leadership.
You know, Trump came out and backtracked somewhat on his previous abortion stand. And the news media is saying, oh, he's going to lose his supporters. He's going to lose his supporters. Are his supporters going to go to Joe Biden?
No.
I don't think so. Okay. And I think that most reasonable people would agree with Trump. I think his position is that we should pass a 15-week ban on abortion nationally.
Yes.
And then leave it up to the 50 states if they want to make it stronger, which I think is a reasonable position.
I agree with the, you know, the first trimester, 15 weeks, abortion under certain conditions still.
Yeah.
You know, the health of the mother, the life of the mother, incest and rape, the child, you know, embryo and the nurturing child. If there's a serious problem, all that should be done right away. It shouldn't be a form of abortion, you know, where you can wait till any time and then decide that you want to have get rid of your child. If that can't be done in the first 15 weeks, then it really is kind of a shame. But I heard that some states were trying to pass a 6-week limit, which
there
I think would be too excessive and unfair for women.
I do also. Yes, I don't agree with that. Now, you know, I'm pro-life and I support that position, but I still maintain you can't force people to accept things if they don't want to accept it when you live in a democracy like we live in. So both sides have to come to some compromise. And I think 15 weeks, and then if your state wants to make it stronger, go ahead, let them make it stronger. I just don't believe that abortion should be used as a form of birth control. I think that it's, you know, just terrible when people do that kind of stuff.
I know this takes us on a little segue that we didn't plan, but I think the federal government should take control of this issue, pass a national law that applies to everybody, and take it out of the hands of the states, because the states use it for political purposes, just like with gun control. Gun control becomes a state issue and local issue, and it becomes a political battle rather than one of facts and reality. Those are the two issues I wish the federal government would take over and come up with one policy, but there must be a political reason why they don't want to do that.
Well, you don't agree with Trump's position. 15
no.
weeks, federal ban,
no.
And then leave it go to the states.
Well, no, I don't agree with that. I think 15 weeks, and then, you know, for an abortion, but I would keep it at the national. That would be my feeling at the national level. So, but anyway, all right. But Trump has a lot of time to be thinking about that, and who knows if he'll have even more after the election. The way things are going, the election is just very, and I don't think anybody can predict the election, you know, so far, given all the different factors that are happening. But one factor that would impact the election, right, would be this effort by some states, mostly Democrats, I think, to allow non-citizens to vote in local elections. What did you hear? What did you think when you first heard that it was being attempted?
I thought someone was kidding me. That's what I thought. I couldn't believe that people would actually want to allow non-American citizens to vote in our elections. It's totally outlandish. And I'm glad to see that thus far, the courts have upheld the position where that cannot be allowed. I did some research on this, and every single state in the Union, plus the District of Columbia, does not say anything about non-citizens being able to vote. It is assumed that the Constitution of these states simply meant, in regards to voting, that you had to be a citizen. At one time, you know, you had to be 21, then they dropped it down to 18. That was all done on the federal level. That wasn't done right. by state.
Right.
Now, the only city that has passed that ordinance to allow non-citizens to vote is the city of New York. And a court has rejected that and said that they could not do it. Now, New York talks about, you know, going back to do it again. But I really think you're going to have exactly the same outcome. Now, there have been, and I'll read these off to you, Ray, because I looked these up, and I think you did too. There are states that have, in the last couple of years, once again reinforced that non-citizens cannot vote. And that's Alabama, Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Louisiana, North Dakota, Ohio, and coming up in this fall's presidential election, Iowa, Kentucky, and Wisconsin have it on the ballot also to reinforce the fact that non-citizens will be able to vote. So I think it's going the way you and I think it should go, but I think it's just ridiculous that someone would come up with the idea that non-citizens could vote in this country. I don't care if it's on the local level, the state level. It's just, to me, it's outlandish.
Yeah, and you, all those states that you mentioned were passing laws that prohibit, correct, non-citizens from voting.
Yeah, I misspoke there, yes.
No, that's all right. Yeah, but I think it was clear what you were saying, but I just wanted to reinforce that. But that's still only a third of the states, maybe. You know, that means that there are another 30 that haven't done anything, 35.
No, but many of them probably rely upon their constitution, which is telling them that, you know, you have to be a citizen to vote.
Illinois probably won't be one of those states, my guess is.
No, my guess would.
Well, yes. And doesn't that talk to the principle of why you see some Democrats being in favor of opening our borders and letting anybody come into the country, because they believe that even if they can't get them to be voters, that once they become citizens, if they can make them citizens, they're going to vote Democratic and strengthen the Democratic vote. To me, that's just unbelievable that someone would jeopardize our system, you know, by doing that, because I do think that jeopardizes our system.
I definitely agree. I mean, it's the same people that are pushing allowing non-citizens to vote. They are the same people that are opposed to closing down the border in any way, shape, or form, or limiting the number of people that can come here. It's the same group of people. And all that does, as far as I'm concerned, is undermine our democratic system of government that believes in capitalism, free enterprise. It moves us closer and closer, unfortunately, I believe, to socialism in this country.
And this brings me back to that O.J. Simpson case, where I really believed in the judicial system. But the fact is that in some cases, a small percentage, justice doesn't prevail. And laws like that, I worry that, you know, some court or some system can subvert the Constitution through a legal system that might manipulate a law like that, you know, arguing that migrants are human beings and we need to, you know, they're living here and they should be allowed to have a voice in the country where they live. So it's a little disconcerting for me. And I get worried a little bit that our country wastes so much time fighting for the rights of non-citizens And it doesn't seem like they spend as much time fighting for the rights of actual citizens. That's the big concern I have.
Well, I see that the mayor of Chicago is requesting another $70 million to help out the illegal aliens that are now living in the city of Chicago.
Well, he has a problem though, doesn't he? Because the problem isn't that he needs money to take care of them. The problem is they were allowed to come in here and they go to Chicago. They shouldn't have been welcomed, but they were coming in before he even became mayor.
Oh,
And now
definitely.
he's mayor and he has all these people that you can't let them die on the streets. You got to do something. But we should just kick them out. We shouldn't allow them to stay.
Well,
So.
I don't blame these. I mean, I think it's really ludicrous that many of these cities that were, what open not open cities, but sanctuary cities, it was fine when it was only Arizona and Texas and a little bit of California that was being affected by these open borders. But when those states start shipping their illegal aliens up to the cities up here, all of a sudden people started changing their mind. The mayor of New York at one time was very supportive of it. Now, boy, every other day he's talking about something has to be done about all these illegal aliens coming into New York City. But I get back, I blame Joe Biden for the whole thing. He is the man that opened up the border. He is the
Yeah.
person that's been in office for 3 years. He is the individual that is allowing all these people to come into the country. They should have been stopped at the border in the first place. We all feel sorry for him, yes, but we can't feel sorry for him to the degree that it starts hurting American citizens, and it is hurting American citizens. And now people are talking. In fact, the mayor of Chicago the other day was talking about giving green cards to all these illegal aliens so they can get jobs, so they can compete with American citizens for jobs. And you know what happens then when you have a lot of people competing for jobs? The wages go down. And then the government, principally the federal government, has to start subsidizing those people in some way, shape, or form. And the federal government money and all tax money, whose money is it? Your money, my money, all the taxpayers' money.
And of course, the other aspect is many of these illegal aliens and migrants who are coming in here illegally, a lot of them are problematic in the countries where they're at. And it's
Yes.
not just poverty. Some of them are criminals. And I remember Trump ruined this whole argument during his first election when he made it sound like they were all criminals, but they're not all criminals. But among many of those are criminals. And drug dealers. That's not to say all of them are, but they're running from a bad system. They want a good system. And there is a way to do it. You do it legally. It is a burden, for them, but it's the only way we can vet and separate good people who want to be Americans from people who just want to come in and exploit it. And many of them end up fueling our crime. They're involved in our crimes, killing people. Causing problems, and because they're illegal, it's very hard to track them down and find them because they're not in our system, legally. So it's just beyond me how we even allowed this to get as far as we allowed it to go.
Well, I agree with you, but there are a number of people in this country, unfortunately, that support this move by Biden and allowing all these refugees, illegal aliens, as I call them, to come into our country. Why they support it, I think they have ulterior motives. I've said to you earlier in this podcast that I think that these people are interested in overturning the capitalistic free enterprise system in favor of socialism. That's my opinion. I hope I'm wrong, but something is driving this. It's not just a spontaneous, support by a lot of people.
And I think a lot of Democrats believe that by allowing them to come in, they will vote Democratic, which is why New York and a few other places were thinking about New York doing it, but other places thinking about it, making them, giving them the right to vote so they could boost up their liberal numbers. To me, that just shows you how problematic the left is. That they're so worried that they can't convince voters about their principles and ideas The only way to do it is to gerrymander the system, to jack the system and allow people to vote and forget about the issues, because the issues aren't strong enough to win votes. So they got to pump up the numbers through other means. That tells me that some of the issues that they're promoting are weak and they're not resonating with voters and they have a problem. So,
and they're anti-American, as far as I'm concerned, their ideas.
Yes. Yes, I agree. And in fairness, I think the people on the right, the far right, I think for them, they're not looking at the arguments that we're even talking about. They're looking at what they see as a racial, you know, issue. And again, Absolutely. It's a small segment on the far right and it's a small segment on the far left. But the people in the middle, they're not coming together. They're following a tune like lemmings, just going right off the Republican and the Democratic cliffs without even thinking for themselves. And I wish they would think for themselves. If more people listen to our podcast, Bill, they would be thinking for themselves.
I hope so. I hope so. Sincerely, because I think this country has a lot of problems. And until the great middle decides that they're going to really get involved in politics, we're going to continue, I believe, to have these problems of the left and the right driving the issues that people talk about continually in newspapers, magazines, on television, on the radio. And I don't think that's good for this country.
All right, Bill. A reminder for our listeners, you want to read Bill's columns that appear in the newspaper, you can go to BillLipinski.com and you can go to Hanania.com to read my columns. So any other final thoughts, Bill?
No, I understand that you're traveling this podcast, so I hope you're enjoying yourself, and I look forward to being back in the great Midwest next week.
Yes, I'm actually in Vegas at some journalism meetings, and I will be back this week, and it's amazing how this Las Vegas has changed so dramatically, how big it is, you know, just how it's grown and how many people pour money in a risky way into a system. And I don't think it's a mob issue anymore. I think it's just a corporate, you know, that it just to see people losing so much money. I see these people sitting there, especially seniors, pouring money into slot machines. They're not winning. I don't know if that there's got to be a better way to enjoy life than sitting in front of a slot machine and throwing away your savings. It's just a shame, I think. But
now, recently, I've never been in a casino up until about 3 or 4 weeks ago, when a friend of mine who goes there every other week with some friends of hers, and I said, I've never been in a casino, but I'd like to see what it is. So I went, and of course, I never bet a nickel, but I was surprised at the number of seniors there, particularly the number of senior women that were there.
Yes.
It must be that, you know, their husbands have passed away, or maybe they never were married and they just go there for enjoyment, but they lose an awful lot of money.
Right.
And I don't understand. I see people at these video games, they just keep pressing a button and press. I don't know how you can enjoy anything, you know,
right?
Because it all moves so fast.
Yeah. It's frightening, because when you walk through a casino, it's a long walk. In Vegas, especially at these casinos, the casino floors are a block long and a block wide, filled with, there must be 2 million slot machines just in a two block area around some of these casinos. And every one of them has, and I would say mostly seniors who are sitting in front of these slot machines, that maybe we're doing something wrong to help. Maybe we're not helping seniors enough, that they feel they have to risk their money and their pensions to try and find some other benefit. I wish this country spent more concern and more time helping seniors, and I don't think they do it, so.
Okay, well, we better not stay on the road here against the gambling of seniors, because that's a good topic, though, for another show.
We'll do that. All right, I'm Ray Hanania.
I'm Bill Lipinski. Until next time, have a wonderful day, all you fellow Americans.
All right, bye-bye, everybody.